Daily Drinkers, Big Z here. Oh, man, another tough loss for the Lions. This time in the hands of the Cleveland Browns. 13.5-point underdog. Just couldn't quite get across the finish line there, unfortunately. But it is what it is. You know, life of the Lions fans sometimes. Anyways, on this episode, we'll be talking about that game. Then we'll talk about the upcoming game with Chicago Bears. Just one episode this week with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up. And, of course, we'll give our ever-famous prediction. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and it is Thanksgiving week. That's right. The Lions will be playing that 11 o'clock game against the Bears this year, and of course in Detroit. We'll be getting all that, but first we're going to be reacting to the Week 11 game, the 13-10 heartbreaking loss to the Cleveland Browns. We'll be getting all that in a moment, but before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Connor.
Yo!
UJ.
Hey, Lions fans.
Red Dog.
Yo!
And Bob.
Howdy!
All right, gentlemen. So let's dive into this last game, shall we, for a little bit. I mean, kind of the same story. You know, anemic offense, a pretty, you know, resilient defense, but just getting no help from the offensive side of the ball. But we at least... Let's start with a positive note, shall we? We at least had to like the effort that our defense has been displaying the last few weeks for us.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's the biggest positive of the season so far, I'd say.
I like the D-line play. I got to say, even though they did have a 100-yard rusher, I thought they kind of contained the big plays at least, which I thought was
well. Yeah, now you could say that was roughly the same as kind of what Najee Harris did to us against the Steelers, right? Not you know, a shutdown performance, but also not a killer, I guess.
Not a breakout. Yeah.
Well, it was a killer at the end when we couldn't stop Chubb.
That was
right.
That was bad.
It's just tough, you know, when your offense is three and out constantly.
Yeah, I know.
Week in and
defense
week out.
Defense had to spend a lot of time out there.
There should be an adjusted stat for not having Goff as your quarterback on the defense, so we know what this defense actually is like. Because right now, like think of these last couple of weeks have been like Herculean. I think I said it before, but Herculean feats to hold these offenses to what they did with how long they were on the field, when how good those teams are. Like it's ridiculous.
Well, on the other side though, I don't think the Browns were quite at their best.
No.
I
mean, but neither
Baker
are we.
Mayfield is.
Mayfield did help us out a lot in this game. There was a lot of open receivers, and the interception that he threw. The guy was open underneath. He just threw him.
I think Cleveland might hate him more than Lions fans hate Goff. That might be possible. They really hate him.
I think it's more of a mixed bag.
I mean, considering where he was drafted for them, I could see what you mean, Connor.
I just think like every Browns fan I talk to, like, just it's like he shot their family in the middle of the night or something. It's
him. He is kind of beat up right now, actually.
His non-throwing arm, right? Isn't it all banged up?
Yeah, the rest of the team should get so tough, you know, is him. He's out there fighting all the time. Baker, you know,
he wasn't great.
The rest of
the
Browns should be as tough as their quarterback. At least that's what his wife says. I don't know if anybody saw that.
I did, yeah.
I didn't see that. No, what happened?
Baker's wife put out a tweet that Baker's the toughest dude on the planet, and the rest of the team should be so tough as Baker. And then she immediately removed it. But, of course, it got out. And
alienating his teammates is probably not the right move. Right now.
All right. So, I mean, going back to defense, though, I mean, let's just keep talking about that side of the ball.
Okay.
just some things to note. Austin Bryan pretty much played the entire game on the field here. You know, pretty good presence. Had a half sack, split it with Will Harris. And Will Harris, another guy I wanted to mention.
He did pretty well.
A lot of nickel. Yeah, another not a bad week for him, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he still wasn't great, but he definitely made some plays, which is more than we've seen early in the season.
Back to Bryant, though, he was actually pretty strong in the point of attack, at least early on. I noticed him stuffing the run a few times as well, which was nice to see.
And
yeah, absolutely.
I thought Jerry Jacobs looked pretty decent coverage-wise as well. I mean,
yes.
A special game, but
yeah. Tracy Walker still laying the wood out there.
That secondary is pretty impressive, I think, considering the circumstances. That's just down to coaching, I think.
Yeah, definitely the surprise unit.
Imani Warrior continues to be like up and down kind of for me.
Yeah, he had that penalty, right?
He always seems to have one a week, you know, one of those penalties. So
answer the face this week.
He always seems to make a play too, though. I don't know.
There is, I do think we still are in search. You know, like Anzalone this week looked really bad. He looked outmatched against this offensive line. He got pummeled on some places.
He got launched that one time. That was a great shot.
Oh, he got he got absolutely manhandled in this game.
He was
hustling,
the worst
graded player
in the
game. He
was hustling while he got manhandled.
He was.
Yeah, he did play 74 snaps. He played every snap of the defense in this game. The only player to do so. Him and Awarie and Tracy Walker, I should say.
Barnes got his hand on a ball today in the game. Bad of the pass.
Yeah,
and he made a nice tackle on the outside. But other than that, I mean, he only played 19 snaps, so he didn't play that many snaps in this game.
But
you know, it's just hard when you have an offense like this. So
it looked like a presence out there, if not, you know, directly making plays. I felt like he was out there making things happen a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I'd still like to see more out of him in the pass rush. I haven't really noticed him in the
pass
rush at all this year.
The entire pass rush on this team needs to get off the damn blocks. That's their biggest problem right now. They're getting pressure, but they're not getting there. They're not getting home.
I mean, the sack numbers are pretty low.
That's a good team, too, on the offensive line, but still, they got to get off some blocks. Someone's got to get home and make a play.
Something tells me that'll be a focus in the draft for Brad Holmes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we might have a shot at a good one.
I know we're not talking draft, but
but it's probably coming pretty soon.
There's a couple really good ones. There's a couple good ones.
We can mention it, though, at least in the terms of the Texans won again this week against the Titans. And so now the Lions have a 2-game lead on the first overall pick in the draft. The Lions winless, and the next closest teams all have 2 wins.
Why do you get the feeling that this year having the first overall pick is not going to be all it was meant, you know, is cut out to be, you know? One of those odd years where the number one pick.
There's no clear number one quarterback.
Yeah,
or,
I know.
So.
But, no clear number one.
To get lucky with that.
Which but only figure.
Days.
I mean, right now, betting-wise and, like, by all the draft people, draft experts, you know, quote-unquote experts, but Kayvon Thibodeau is the clear number one.
And he doesn't exactly excite me all that much. I mean, I'd be happy to have him, but he excites me
to a lot.
Some extent. He hasn't impressed me that much. I'll just say that his stat line isn't all that. I've watched some of his highlights.
Stat line, he's only played like 4 games this year for Oregon.
Yeah,
so
but the years in the past, he hasn't put up impressive stats. Like, he's not. But he didn't put up like Chase Young stats in college. He didn't put up dominating stats like high sack numbers. I mean, that's not everything, and that's fine. But I'm just saying he's not a. He's just not a generational talent. Oh my god.
Red Dog Student is Michaela Maroney. Unimpressed.
Not Quintez Cephas, he's down on them. So you know, I gotta keep that in mind.
No, I just know the truth when I see it.
We can get the guy from Michigan, Hutchinson. He's the other.
Hutchinson. The guy from Purdue. Karlaftis.
Karlaftis looks pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into draft stuff more. But I mean, this could be an area where we want the Lions to trade the pick and they won't do it and they'll pick somebody.
should we talk some offense?
It's not always easy to trade the pick.
Right. I know.
People always say that. Like, you can't just. Trade it because you want
to. I want to say it. Let me say it, Bob. Let me say it. Just let me say it. Let me have my piece.
All right. should we talk some offense?
Do we want to?
Hold on.
Before we get to the offense, let me just preface this with this. The Lions don't even have the worst offense in the NFL.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
Who is it?
There's two teams worse. Can you guess?
The Texans? The Jets? And
yes.
The Jacksonville?
The Jets.
Not the Jets, no.
Jacksonville?
It goes Texans, then Jaguars, then the Lions, then the Bears,
Woo! Then
the Jets.
And that's simply because we have good running backs and good O-line.
The Bears are right behind us, right ahead of us.
16.3 for the Bears. We averaged 16 points a game. The Jaguars, 15.9. The Texans, 15. And yet, the Texans have 2 wins.
Wow.
So, 1 against the Jaguars. But we don't get the luxury of playing the Jaguars. Now, let me go with this as well. People think, like, oh, this is the worst offense I've ever seen. Well, let me tell you, the bottom 20 offenses in the NFL were much worse. The worst ever was in 1944, the Tigers. I don't even know what city that's in. They averaged 6.9 points per game. The most recent bottom 20 offense, I was asking Kid Jay about this. I was quizzing him. It's the 2009 Rams, who had Mark Bulger as their quarterback, Steven Jackson as running back, Steve Spagnuolo, the now defense coordinator of the Chiefs, as their head coach, and Pat Shermer, who is still an offense coordinator in the NFL and multiple time head coach. So it could be worse.
Well, what about
worse?
Do you know how
they averaged 10.9 points per game that in 2009?
Do you know how this Lions offense compares to previous Lions offenses? Did you look that up by chance? Because I'd be curious.
I did not, but I can discuss.
The 08 team seems better offensively.
0-16 did score more. They had Calvin, remember?
Because I was telling Bob, I think this is the worst Lions offense I've seen in my lifetime, at least.
Yes.
Specifically Lions offense.
So it's in 2008, bad. We averaged 16.8 points per game.
So that's
slightly
more.
Better. Slightly better. Not too, by much, but
we might have had the offensive that gave up more points. We actually haven't given up a lot of like turnover points. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we've been worse than that way.
I don't know. But anyways, I just wanted to preface that with this.
Saving us right now.
it does help us drink some Kool-Aid, Big Z. I do appreciate that.
The question is, how deep does our frustration run with this team? Knowing that this is a complete rebuild and everything, how deep is your frustration, boys?
That is a good question, UJ. Mine's not that deep right now.
I'm not deep at all.
It's hard to be frustrated when the frustration just gone, kind of, for me. Yeah. It's like I got frustrated the first few weeks, but now I'm just kind of...
It's Tim Boyle this week.
During the game, I still get frustrated, and I'm rooting hard for him to win, but, like...
Yeah.
Why, UJ, are you frustrated? Is that why you say that? Just curious where you come down on that.
Well, long-term, I'm not frustrated. I mean, I am frustrated that we're not getting a win here or there. I think we should have had at least one or two by now. But I'm still looking at this as a long-term thing, and I'm already seeing some riders getting down on Campbell and Holmes and all this stuff. Come on, man.
I'm more frustrated offensively with the play calling.
Yeah, suddenly he's super conservative now, and I don't understand.
We go into this game, and we hear, Tim Boyle's got, like, no confidence issues or anything like that. First of all, he looked kind of weary out there, but also, like, it just looks like they weren't giving him any freedom to, you know, do what he does best, which is kind of take risky throws and throw it downfield. And he did it once, and I was actually happy, even with the interception.
Yeah,
at least we tried. Thank you.
Even Campbell seemed happy that he did that. Like, Campbell was even happy that Boyle threw down the field, as if he wasn't expecting it.
I wanted him to throw down. I didn't like that throw. I thought that was horrible.
He only did it once. Like, we need to do it more. It needs to be, something that can happen at any time. And right now, it's like you're lucky if it ever happens.
You know, even if we don't have a good drop back game, we need to try. At least put an effort out there,
right?
Because
you see the teams against us. They can be super aggressive on everything up in front of them.
Yeah, they're never running cover three. Yeah, you don't need to run like two.
You know, we're gonna hand it off or throw a screen
throw a screen. I mean, it's hard to throw a screen when the defense is like looking for it because they know you're not gonna throw deep.
I know.
Guys, how weird is this? Do we just flip flop? We went from always having a passing game to just needing that running game to complement it. Now we have a running game where we just need a passing game to complement it.
Today's NFL, you set up the running game with the pass game more than the other way around.
Run game is right now. It's overcoming this complete lack of pass game.
Isn't it like back-to-back 100-yard rushers?
It's overcoming it, but it's helping keep us relevant.
It's overcoming it. I mean, it's the only reason we're scoring points. I mean, Swift going off for long gains and stuff like that. So it's overcoming it to some regard, and we're putting up 100-plus, 200-yard games and stuff on the ground. So, I mean.
And let me talk say one quick thing about the receivers on this team are terrible. I mean, that's part of our problem. It's not so much forcing the ball, just having bad receivers. And then when Josh Reynolds came into the game, I'm like, okay, we'll see what he looks like. He did play a lot, but he had a really bad penalty. And hopefully when Goff comes back, they'll have a little something together. But I don't know in the meantime what they're going to do.
Right.
I got a note from the producer, guys. Swift is the first back-to-back 100-yard rusher for the Lions since Kevin Jones in 2004.
Baby.
So I mean, that's definitely a sign we're doing something right there.
Yeah. No, Swift looks really good.
Stud, superstar.
That touchdown was nice. One cut and boom. Everybody had their blocks too, with the backup center McCollum coming in on the block there too. So
that's nice.
Some depth right there on the center.
He has that crazy speed too, where it doesn't even look like he's running hard, and he's pulling away from everybody. It's just amazing to watch. Amazing.
I really like him this year. He's definitely being leaned on very heavily. Oh, I was going to ask you guys, what do you think Jonah Jackson said about JB and Clowney's mom?
Oh, no.
See, there's the penalty. Apparently,
unbelievable.
Between quarters, he said something about Clowney's mom. I'm really curious what it was. I want to know.
I've never seen a penalty thrown in between quarters like that before.
It was just wild. I saw it on Twitter. I was like, what? It made no sense to me. But
I mean, but
that's a... I like about this team, though, man, these guys are playing football. You know, that's what you do. You chirp at people, and, you know, they're not backing down from anybody this year. I mean, they're not winning yet, but they're playing tough.
I mean, it's also something that's frustrating. I mean, you watch these games, like the Lions get a nice third down stop, and then they're flag. It's so many self-inflicted wounds. Just kill this team and not allow them to get a victory in a lot of these scenarios. And that's what's frustrating to watch, more so than maybe in the knee pick offense, when you're just giving free first downs and essentially free points to the other team.
That
part is really frustrating. I think that you were asking about frustration. That's what makes me frustrated watching still. So
yeah, because that's like the coaching stuff. That's discipline. You know, let's at least be disciplined. If we're not going to win games,
right,
at least do the right things.
Like Josh Reynolds blocking 20 yards downfield on getting a clear offensive pass interference, kind of killing a drive and take us out of field goal position. That was frustrating. I mean, that penalty between quarters. I don't know what he said. I still would love to, the NFL had to have some mic going, right? I'd love to know what he said. But Awarier, like you said, you mentioned, had that penalty. So, just it's all these little things. They always add up for the Lions, don't they?
Yeah.
Especially in these type of seasons.
Yep. Yeah.
But not always, because in the not too distant future, they're not gonna. And then all of a sudden,
this is not the same old Lions.
The good things
are
gonna add up.
Yeah.
This is just we're just in an awkward period. This is like puberty. You know, we got a lot of zits. We're getting our little curly cues in our pants, and you know, it's awkward. We're seeing girls for the first time in a whole new way.
We're not getting the girl either.
We haven't figured life out.
No, we're not getting the girl.
Yeah, we're not getting the girl. We're too stinky and smelly and farty for that. You know?
On the plus side, I mean, drinking the Kool-Aid,
we got effort.
I think our good players are actually playing pretty well, like Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, Hockenson's being leaned on a little too much. Mm. He's not breakout he is, but there's no other receivers to take pressure off him. Penei Sewell's playing continuously good.
Our O-line is really fun to watch.
Yeah,
they are.
O-line's really fun.
They're a lot of fun to watch.
They are.
I mean, some of these holes they're creating for the running backs, just amazing.
Sewell continues to look like a beast, as we knew he would.
Absolutely. I will say this: I think Raymond is one a decent quality receiver, but he's not a number one receiver, and he shouldn't be your best receiver.
We don't have a number one or a number two.
I could see him making it to next year's roster because, well, he offers something on special teams, and he's still. I like to see him, you know, more vertically used when, you know, we have that mindset finally. But he's the only one after that. I don't know. This Reynolds guy, we'll see. He can't be too hard on him after one game. But
yeah, Reynolds played the most snaps of any receiver in this game, which is kind of surprising considering he hasn't been on the team very long.
Yeah,
and this was not a great debut. He dropped the pass, pass interference. So,
I mean, he did only get targeted like 3 times, though, didn't he? I don't think they threw to him that much, did they?
I mean, we didn't throw them all much at all. So,
yeah.
Again.
So I think the jury's out on him so far in the first game. So,
right.
Hopefully he'll do well.
So, you know, the Lions here, 0-9-1. We have the Thanksgiving game coming up against the Bears, 3.5-1 underdogs. After that, it's the Vikings at home, then at Denver, home against the Cardinals, at Atlanta, at Seattle, and home for the Packers. So, kind of leading into this next game here, I guess. Is this the Lions' best chance to to get a victory on the season?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right? The Bears with a backup quarterback. I mean, Andy Dalton, I think, actually might be better than Fields for this offense that they're trying to run in Chicago. But
probably their best, but not their only. I mean,
it's because it's at home. I think it's their best shot.
Yeah. I don't know. The home crowd might be worse than the road because they get booed.
I see about 7 good opportunities left on the schedule.
I think they could beat the Seahawks. I think they could beat the Broncos.
Seahawks are horrible.
They could
beat
the Falcons.
Yeah, they're brutal.
Packers and Cardinals will be tough, and the Vikings will be tough.
Honestly, I think we could take any team at any time, and that's how it's going to happen. It's going to come on like just be like,
I'm not saying we can take. I didn't say we couldn't take any team. I'm saying the
it's
best
just
opportunity for victory.
No, I know.
There's realism and there's delusion here. I mean, realistically, you got to look at how many of these games we can win. Maybe one.
I mean, the Lions were 13.5-point underdogs this last game and probably should have won this.
Yeah,
game,
this spread is the smallest spread of any team we played this year, right? 3.5 points.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Underdogs are like actually winning a lot of games straight up this year more than ever, and the Lions are just one team that haven't done it. All the other teams. Why can't we? Come on.
Come close.
I know. So many times. That 66-yard field goal is still still haunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still haunting. Yeah.
Let's move into this next game here. Thanksgiving. First of all, I just, you know, even 0-9-1 Lions, even in 2008, the 0-16 team, we still love the Thanksgiving game. It's still just a great game.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited. Lions football is only a couple days away again.
That's right. Especially in these times. This is like the Lions one time nationally to really shine, I guess. They did have the Monday night game, but usually this is their one time a year where everybody gets to watch them and be thankful that the Lions are an NFL franchise. At least I'm thankful. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if all America is.
We choose to be thankful.
But, you know, I hope this game's still sold out. This game usually gets a good crowd still.
It will. It's Thanksgiving.
And the Bears. It's the Bears, so.
Yeah. I mean, everyone watches on Thanksgiving. Doesn't matter how mad you are at the team. We all sit down and we watch. And we
I don't
get
think
mad
I said
all
this before.
Again.
I don't think I said this while we've been recording, but yeah, like an 0-9 Lions team against a 3-7 Bears team, 40 million people are still going to watch this game. So
it's Thanksgiving football. It's a formula.
Exactly. You get the Lions. I guess I didn't look this up, but now I don't know if UJ or Bobby knows how it's up here. When the Lions start playing Thanksgiving football, do you recall?
I want to say it was in the early 60s.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. Like that, I can't remember exactly.
I think it was like Lions Packers,
right?
And one of the Cowboys want to steal it. Some of the
thunder. They came in later,
like 70s.
Okay,
when they became America's team, bullshit. But
the Detroit Lions Thanksgiving Day heritage gained national attention in 1934.
That was way earlier.
It had a brief lull and then resumed in 1945, post World War II.
Oh, I was way off on that. All right.
We'll go America. But anyways, so this Thanksgiving game, what are we looking to? It looks like Jared Goff, he's limited today on the practice report. Looks like he should be ready to go for this game. All Lions fans are saying, thank God Jared Goff's coming back.
I want to see Blau start.
Yeah, that's kind of a joke, but I kind of do want to see Goff and Josh Reynolds, see if they have anything.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully. Something.
I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't like a magical connection in L.A., but they are familiar with each other at the very least. So
no, I mean, but there's no connection with this current crop of receivers.
Very true.
So
very true.
Interesting.
What am I looking for?
I mean, what are we looking for in this game? Oh, victory, obviously.
Like, I'm looking for more than 20 points. I'm looking for another 100-yard game from DeAndre Swift.
More
I'm
than
looking
20
for
points would be great.
At least one pick from our secondary this week.
This is a pretty good Bears defense. I mean, we've obviously seen them already once this year. Justin Fields did play good against us last time. So
they're a little geriatric, I think, but they're still good.
Connor said Khalil Mack's out for the year.
He is out for the year. Yeah. Yes, that is great. That's Robert Quinn's actually had a really good year for the Bears.
How about Hicks? He was out last week. I wonder if he's going to be back this week.
For our defense to get some turnovers.
I wouldn't think so.
I'm looking for our defense to keep that turnover trend up. I think they can take the ball away from Dalton or Fields or whoever.
I do too. This is one of the worst offensive lines the Lions will see all year.
Big
I mean, they've already seen them once.
Nice.
The Lions should have won that game. They got in the red zone four times and snapped one off Jared Goff's groin into the defensive tackle's lap. So,
yeah.
Man, I've been drinking a lot of Kool-Aid. I'm forgetting about some of
if Goff wants to win the fans back, it starts with a Thanksgiving win.
That's
how
right.
It started.
That would be huge.
And there's always there's definitely one truth on Thanksgiving, and that is the Kool-Aid flows very well on Thanksgiving afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon to the evening, the Kool-Aid flows. It flows.
Bob and I have a tradition in our house where we do a fireball shot where we touch down on Thanksgiving. I'm hoping we actually get to do more than
I think you might just need one of those little airplane travel signs.
For each.
The way our offense is operated, you might not be taking too many of those. So.
Maybe the defense can help you out.
Which year did you take? I know you mentioned it, I think, before even on this podcast, but was it the Lions versus the Vikings that one year were high scoring?
There is one year that was really high scoring that Bob had to miss, unfortunately, so we had doubled up. We did a second shot on his behalf, and then we were feeling very good, and my mom was not too happy with us come dinner time. But
Will Bob be there this time around? So
Bob will be in the trenches this year.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
In the trenches.
Let's go.
Yeah, no family emergencies this year. We're good. Yeah. We're good to go. But I would go with off of what Red Dog was saying. I would love to see another 100-yard game from DeAndre Swift just to kind of build that whole running thing and their confidence, you know, make that a regular thing now, 100-yard rushers in Detroit
like
again, which is when I was growing up, that was normal. You know, people don't know that now. You don't see it anymore.
Right.
Well, when you had Barry, it was pretty normal.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift right now 16th in the NFL in rushing. So he's still got a little ways to go up into the upper echelon.
But imagine if we had a passing game to help alleviate the pressure.
Yeah. Whew. I mean, he's having a great year. I'm happy
with absolutely.
His performance.
Yeah, definitely. Jamal Williams didn't look as great in this game as we've been used to seeing him. Maybe that's just part of his injury.
We're easing him back on a pitch count or something there.
Right, yeah. 7 carries for 11 yards in his past game.
His first carry had a nice pop where he busted through for a short. It was like I think he converted.
Short down distance. Kabinda had a nice little play in this game. So
he did.
Yeah, he did. He did a really nice play.
I think that's interesting that they're getting the fullback involved more all of a sudden. Like, he had a couple. Well, he had another one that got stuffed, but, like, they got one that he can, you know, he converted last week on one. Now they give him again. Interesting. They must like what they see out of him in practice or something.
Mm-hmm. As far as the Bears go here, just to look for, it looks like Allen Robinson will also be out. So Darnell Mooney, who went for over 100-plus receiving yards last week against the Ravens, he was pretty much only offensive highlight for the Bears. Or really all year, he's the best receiver. That's the guy to look for.
Jacobs guy.
Match up here. Jacobs or Warrior?
I'd say Jacobs. How big is he?
Maybe.
Smaller guy, isn't he?
Mooney, yeah. Smaller guy, yep.
I think Jacobs has more of the agility and quicks to keep up with a guy like that than Warrior. Then again, unless they're playing press or something like that. But
yeah, it'll be a good test. The Bears have been effective running the ball this year, actually, though, with Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. So the Lions still need to shut down the run game in here. So hopefully they can do that. And I think they can. You know, this again, as I mentioned, the last time the Lions played the Bears, we should have won that game.
Yes.
Right.
But what the Bears do best is shut down offenses in the red zone, and the Lions have had a lot of issues with that lately, scoring in the red zone, despite our hot start earlier this year. Ever since they showed that stat where on TV, like where they said we're 9 for our last 9
yeah.
in the red
yeah,
zone.
You're right.
It's been downhill.
Right from that moment. You are exactly
I
right.
I hallucinated that because we never are scoring anymore.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's been bad.
Yeah, you know, and Bears fans are frustrated with their team, too. So there'll be a lot of frustrated fan bases watching this 11:30 Thanksgiving game. There'll be not a lot to be thankful for from the fan bases watching on Thanksgiving, ironically.
I think Bears and Lions fans are all expecting to lose this game. Nobody's like...
Right.
Hyped. Not here, though.
Yeah.
Do you think it was worth it?
Well, not in this podcast.
Do you think it was worth it for the Bears to, you know, they're looking at a top six. They have the 6th pick, I believe, right now. And they don't, but it's not theirs. It's the Giants because they traded away for Justin Fields. If you're the Bears, was that a worthy trade?
Fields? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to know.
The next draft,
jury's out, but they needed it. They've never had a great quarterback, so it's worth taking a
I will say, I'm not a believer in Justin
Fields. Looks like a great. Do you think he's a great quarterback?
No.
As a prospect, he stands up pretty well against what's coming out next year.
Every time he completes like a 30-yard pass, everyone's like, oh, my God.
I think.
Oh, my God, Justin Fields.
He doesn't process plays quickly, though. That's why I think Andy Dalton's maybe the slightly better
Wait, Z, you were impressed with them.
Yeah, you said he's like Joe Montana and Tom Brady's like love child. That's what you're saying.
Definitely not say that.
Something like that. Z. I don't know. You're all over this
guy. I said the upside is there, and I asked, would you be more excited if Justin Fields is our quarterback than what we currently have? I would say yes.
Well, yes.
I think that's
but
an easy
I like
answer.
Sewell, too. I'm not denying that Sewell
well,
is a good
if
player.
We're losing Sewell, no,
but
I wouldn't
almost
be.
Almost anyone could be starting over Goff.
Z, what do you think? How do you think he stacks up against the prospects that are coming out this year at quarterback from what you've seen?
Probably better.
He probably would have probably come out and been the number one quarterback in the draft next year.
I need to watch Matt Corral a little more, but like Malik Willis, I bet Fields way ahead of him.
I'd agree with that.
So, I mean, that's what you're really looking
Carson
at.
Strong,
what are they,
way
what are
ahead
they
of
missing
him.
Out on next year? That they by taking a shot at a guy like Fields.
I get why they went for him, but as a Lions fan, I hope it fails. Yeah. I hope he's terrible.
Well, right,
I
of mean, course.
He's a nice kid.
The Lions
but...
don't have to get a quarterback this year, though.
No.
Receiver would be nice.
I mean, do you think Jared Goff will be the starting quarterback next year for the Lions?
Yes, I do.
Probably.
You can load up at receiver. I
mean, they have so much money tied into Goff, but I don't know.
I know.
I don't see.
We can't. I think he'll get a cheap veteran making a backup or something. I don't know.
I would like at least a mid-round flyer at quarterback. I mean, Goff knows the situation there. He wouldn't be like, that wouldn't be bad. He's not going to throw like a huge drama if we drafted like a fourth or fifth round quarterback or something.
I don't know if I want to waste a fourth round pick on a quarterback this year.
Well, that's even to develop a backup too. I mean, we always need backups and it's always good to be developing.
We have so many needs though.
Yeah.
If we're going to go get a quarterback 1 year later, I don't know if it's worth it.
I mean, we have needs, but like, I don't think our needs are that vast that we can't afford a quarterback.
We're 0-9-1. We have a lot of needs.
Even backup quarterback is a need. Our backup quarterbacks are not good. When's the last time we had a good backup? There's a question.
That's what
for
I'm
you.
Saying though. But I think it's something.
Sean Hill.
I was going to say Sean Hill as well.
I was going to say Stanton. But Hill is a good
you know the worst graded you know the worst passing performance since Tim Boyle this past week was Drew Stanton. So
I'll take Culpepper.
Was a great quarterback.
Well, awesome. Whenever you draft a quarterback, it's with the hope that he could turn out to be the potential starter. But
I'm just saying with how many positions of need we have, and if we're going to go get a starting quarterback a year later, I don't know if a fourth round pick is worth wasting on a backup quarterback.
I say we build the team for another year around, you know,
but what
about
if
the
we
quarterback
get like
the
a
next year?
Fourth round quarterback, we build the team, we win a lot of games, we are out of the running for a top quarterback for the next year draft. Now we got a guy, at least we got a young buck developing.
We have multiple first round picks.
I would need to,
we can trade up for a quarterback if we need to.
I would need to see who the quarterback prospect.
Yeah, it's how it unfolds. Yeah, I mean, this is all total hypothetical.
Red Doug, I would say on that, if there's a quarterback in this draft that they really believe could be a great starting quarterback, draft him wherever they could take him. Even if it's the first round, if he's the guy and they believe in him, but I mean, I don't see it, you know, from what I've read and, you know, what I've seen. It doesn't seem like a great class, but you never know.
Right.
Find these guys.
And, like, there's the thing, too, like, yeah, not, like, everyone sees a mental picture of these guys exactly where they are right now in their careers. You're not drafting a guy for what he is now. You're drafting what you see him as potentially becoming. So, you know, if they see a guy who they can chip a bunch of rust off of and turn into a gem, you know, then, you know, that's worth a flyer.
It's hard to know.
If you ask me.
You never really know. I remember thinking Brady Quinn was going to be the next great NFL quarterback.
Me too. I liked him a lot.
Me too.
Some people in this thought Johnny Manziel was going to be great, which obviously didn't work out either.
That wasn't me.
So, I mean, you know, it's hard to know. It's really hard to gauge who the great, I mean, no one believed in Tom Brady. And look what ended up with him. So it's just hard to measure sometimes.
And some people like me still believe in Tim Tebow.
That's right. I'm with you, Bob.
That ship
never
sailed.
Got a fair shake.
I'd pick up Tebow. Let's get Tebow, man.
I would take.
I'm all in. All in on Tebow.
It would at least sell jerseys.
I would unironically buy a Tebow.
The guy only threw for 300 yards against the Steelers in a playoff game. Whatever, you know.
Yeah, he won a playoff game. He can win. He won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And they weren't like dink and dunk passes. He was slinging the rock.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, now we've gone away from the line.
Talking about Tim Tebow. Oh, you can tell how great our team is doing. We just went on a rant about Tim Tebow.
We're just drifting off.
That was quite a drift. Yeah. Hey.
What did we start the Thanksgiving trip? No, it doesn't matter. Let's just keep going.
I mean, off the top of your guys' head, I know I didn't, you know, preface this before you guys, but do you guys have a favorite Thanksgiving game that you've watched? Does one stick out for you? So I was on a, you know, I do a tax technology as my day job, and I was on a call with a partner, and he mentioned to me his favorite memory was someone on the Bears, I think his name was Dave Williams, in 1980 returned a kickoff in overtime.
Yeah.
Oh, right at overtime. Yeah. Right,
I mean, that's not
overtime
for us,
that
but was I was
horrible.
Just saying, you know, I was mentioning it on a call with.
That was one of the worst memories.
That was a horrible memory.
Thank you.
I remember Joey Harrison.
I was not aware of it because I wasn't born in 1980. So
I was aware of it because I saw it. And was
my least favorite game was the Texans one where he threw the red flag and they couldn't move the play.
Oh, that was so brutal.
The same game where
they had that game won.
That was painful.
Right.
Yeah.
Sue kicked the guy in the nuts, too, right? That game?
Yeah.
Was that
it's sad. More bad games jump out to me than good ones for Thanksgiving. But
I know. I'm honestly drawing blanks right now. I'm trying to think of it.
I mean, Darius Slay getting the pick on setting up the game winning field goal sticks out to me. Darius Slay, 3 weeks in a row, by the way, returning a touchdown for the Eagles.
Touchdowns 3 out of 4 weeks, right?
Good, go Slay.
Thank God we ran that guy out of town.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, no. Fuck you, Matt Patricia, if you're out there listening. Just for that.
Matt Patricia, if you're listening, we want you on the pod. We want to have some questions for you.
Although we
I'm
would
sure
like
he's
to
listening.
Call you on the pod.
But, I mean,
we should have them enter the Lions then.
Oh, that would be so great.
I don't think he's got the guts.
But that one I can't remember what year it was, but Darius Slay getting that pick and set up the game winning field goal, definitely one of the ones that sticks out to me. Kelvin Johnson 3 touchdowns against the Eagles where we dominated them as well.
Oh yeah,
that was a good one.
That was a good one.
They really dominated that game.
Man, I missed that guy. So much fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
So much fun. Him and Stafford. Great connection. And Cooper Kupp is on pace to possibly break Kelvin Johnson's receiving record this year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny? Matt Stafford with the top 2 receivers are breaking the record twice with receivers.
That'd be wild.
That would be ridiculous.
Especially with Cooper Kupp.
Cool. That would be. Yeah. Would be. All right. So before we go here, let's get into our Thanksgiving predictions. So as I mentioned, Lions 3.5-point underdogs at home against the Bears. The over-under is 41.5.
Wow.
40.
Wow.
That might be too high for a lot of people.
Real
with two offenses averaging 32 points per game combined.
I might take the under, honestly.
All right. So, Connor, what are you feeling for this game? What's your prediction?
Well, I will say I agree with the assessment that Jared Goff will be back. I think he'll make some good connections with Raymond, but I don't anticipate a high-scoring game. I think we're going to stick with DeAndre Swift. I think Dan Campbell's going to listen to the criticism, and he's going to try to be a little less conservative late. I think we're going to win this game in a nail-biter, 20-17, and the defense is going to make a stop at the end.
We got to 20 points?
We just got to 20 points. 20-17 victory. last minute defensive stop to win.
And Connor, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
We make this oyster stuffing in my house that I really love.
Oyster stuffing. I don't think I've ever heard of that. I assume there's oysters in it, right?
No, no, I don't think so. I don't think there's any oysters in it. No, yeah, there is.
Wait, seriously?
No, I was just messing with you.
Oh, I don't know what it is. So
I could say the turkey, but like, or the mashed potatoes, but I wanted to give you something interesting, so I'm gonna say the oyster stuff.
That is interesting. All right. Yeah. UJ, your prediction.
All right.
And then food.
Well, you know, the football is an odd-shaped object, you know, and it bounces in unpredictable directions. And I think just once, and it's got to bounce our way, I'm telling you. And I think we've been so close here. We've been knocking on the door. I think this is the week it happens. So, but we're going to win, and it's going to be a close game. I'm going to say 17-14. We're going to win this game. Swift's going to have another banner day. And I think we're going to, a couple of times, at least two, maybe three times, we're going to try to whip it down the field deep. Whether it works or not, I don't even care. I just want to see him try it. I think we're going to win 17-14. It's a bounce has to go our way sooner or later. It's just the law of odds. There's maybe the laws of odds, you know.
I don't know.
Don't work the same
law
with
of odds
the Lions.
Have not been our way for 50 years, 60 years.
I know, but gosh darn it. Yeah, I really say we're going to win it, though. This is our week, man. This is our week. We're going to.
That's all right. You're drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's
going to
make
our
dinner taste so much better. That's all I can say.
And what's the food of choice?
Food of choice. I think I really like the mashed potatoes. Yes, I do. Oh, yes.
All right. Let's go to Bob.
All right. Yeah, this is a battle of the Titans here. These two huge teams. Playing their best football right now. Bears, Lions, black and blue division. You know, this is what we live for. And I see a very low-scoring game. I think if Goff is back, I think we'll see the Reynolds connection. It'll spark up for 1 week, and then it'll flare out. But this is the week. There'll be two touchdowns for Josh Reynolds thrown by Goff. So he'll actually have two touchdown passes. And we're going to keep the Bears from scoring a touchdown, but it'll be 20-12 in the final game. We get two field goals, two touchdowns, and we won't have to sweat it.
That sounds like scoregami in my mind. I don't know if it is.
Yeah. I like that.
And let me say, I'll set an over and under. I don't know if you think there'll be any, but I think it'll be two trick plays in this game of some kind.
Ooh.
Two trick play.
Ooh. Are they going to work, or are they just going to be attempted?
I'm just saying they're running. All right. Lions will run two trick plays. Hopefully they'll work.
All right. That's what I like to hear. And so food. Food, Bob.
Oh, food. Yeah, I think I go with the potatoes too, like mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, I think that's where I'm at.
All right. I like it. Let's go to Rud Dog now. So we got high scoring games. Both of you predicting 20 points for the Lions here. So.
That's sad that that's right. Considered high scoring.
Rud Dog.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, those are real high scores. I don't know if I can top that. Yeah, I think this is a real good chance, as you guys all say. This is maybe our best chance to win a game this season. I think we match up well. I think this defense is incredibly, incredibly hungry. So is the offensive line, and I'm sure all the guys are. But what the thing that's been holding us back all season so far has been Goff. I mean, he's been the biggest, you know, problem, and I think he's going to not be that problem this week. I think he's going to have a nice connection with Reynolds. I think he's going to throw one touchdown to Raymond on a deep ball. And then I think Swift is going to put up two touchdowns for 150 yards. And the defense is going to pitch in for a score here, boys. And I think Anzarike is going to cause a sack fumble for a touchdown. So
all right. Wow, yeah. All right.
Tally that up. So 20
carry one.
So that's a 24, and the Bears are gonna score one field goal, 24-3. That's their that's their Thanksgiving sharing.
I hope you're right.
They're going to.
Oh wow!
I like it.
Love it. That's a very nice score.
So with DeAndre Swift, if Madden were giving out the six-legged turkey, Swift to get one of those. Legs.
Oh yeah!
I don't know if you remember back in the day, they
Swift's gonna get the whole turkey.
Madden, you see those games.
Food, Rod Dog. Food.
Oh, yeah, speaking of turkey, it's the turkey, baby.
Dark or white?
Dark meat.
Dark meat all day. Dark meat all day. All
right. Just making sure I had to ask. You know, we had to clarify for the listeners here. So,
oh, Big Z, me and you always got the drumsticks.
Yeah, no, I know. So I predict, first of all, that UJ will throw more touchdown passes in the backyard turkey bowl than Jared Goff will in this game. For starters. UJ, I'm predicting 3 touchdown passes for you in the backyard turkey bowl.
Wow.
I'm going 1 for Jared Goff in this game and 2 rushing touchdowns. Lions 21, Bears 17. It'll be a close one, but they will eke it out for their first victory of the year. No need to get into long drawn out details on this one. I just feel 21-17 in my bones.
All right.
In
my turkey. We have very close score predictions.
And I'm going to go cranberry sauce. I always love cranberry
sauce. Wait. The homemade or the canned one?
The canned one. Yeah. I love it from the store.
So, Bob, Bob loves the canned one in our house.
That's great.
Yeah, I love the canned stuff,
too. It's so
good.
I don't know why. I just love it. It's the only time of year I eat it. So.
Oh, I have to do an edit. I said 24-3. It was 28 was my actual score.
My watch the Lions win 24-3 now.
No!
Then we'll re-edit it the other way.
All right, gentlemen. So we'll wrap this up. But before we do, Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking Boo Kool-Aid. Please follow us on there. Message us. Let us know your thoughts on this upcoming game. Just kind of the state of the Lions in general. Always glad to hear everybody's thoughts and comments.
DM us your dinner picks as well on Thursday.
Yeah,
I want to see them.
Yeah.
Send us your turkey.
And everyone have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Yes, yeah, everybody, yes. Definitely. Yeah, be thankful that you have the Lions. I know
it sounds funny, but
say it in our current state. But
I know I am.
If you're listening to this, first of all, you are thankful for the Lions, whether you like it or not. You are,
you're in.
Yeah, you're in for the long haul.
You're locked in.
Because the team's 0-9-1, and you're still listening to podcasts about the Lions. That's how deep you are into this.
Exactly, Bob. Exactly. And if you are listening, or if you're listening on the sidelinereport.com, also download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're all over, and leave a review if you can. Always greatly appreciated. Otherwise, gentlemen, listeners, thank you for our producer, Kid Jay. Everybody just have a blessed Thanksgiving, watching this Lions team and spending time with your families. So thank you. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.